Through the Word, I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Judges chapter 9. Ah, Abimelech, one of the most beloved characters in all the Bible. Said nobody ever. Remember the son of Gideon, the cowardly one in the last chapter? Well, he doesn't get any braver in this chapter. Rather, he substitutes courage with treachery. Born out of cowardice. Heck, if you don't like to fight, you can always deceive and backstab instead. It's another way to get ahead, although I don't recommend it, because it doesn't end that well for Abimelech in Judges chapter 9. But that's literally what he does. He backstabs by hiring a mob of reckless scoundrels, assigning them to murder his 70 brothers. Gideon was apparently pretty busy when he wasn't fighting battles. Verse 5 tells us, he went to his father's home in Ophrah, and on one stone murdered his 70 brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, escaped by hiding. Then all the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo gathered beside the great tree at the pillar in Shechem to crown Abimelech king. When Jotham was told about this, he climbed up on the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you." One day, the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, "Be our king." But the olive tree answered, "Should I give up my oil, which both gods and humans are honored, to hold sway over trees?" Next, the tree said to the fig tree, "Come and be our king." But the fig tree replied, "Should I give up my fruit, so good and sweet, to hold sway over trees?" But then the tree said to the vine, "Come be our king." But the vine answered, "Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and humans, to hold sway over trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, "Come be our king." The thornbush said to the trees, "If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, then let fire come out of the thornbush and consume the cedars of Lebanon." Now, this was supposed to be funny because it was the smallest and least fruit-bearing of all plants, a thornbush, and the cedars of Lebanon were literally the strongest wood known to the people at that time. Jotham continues in verse 16, "Have you acted honorably and in good faith by making Abimelech king? Have you been fair to Jerubbaal and his family? Have you treated him as he deserves? Remember that my father fought for you and risked his life to rescue you from the hand of Midian. But today you have revolted against my father's family. You have murdered his 70 sons in a single stone and have made Abimelech, the son of his female slave, king over the citizens of Shechem, because he's related to you. So have you acted honorably and in good faith toward Jerubbaal and his family today? If you have, may Abimelech be your joy, and may you be his too. But if you have not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume you, the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come out from you, the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and consume Abimelech." Jotham here is saying, hey, if it's right, then hey, you're good for one another. I give you to one another. But if you're not, if you've not acted right, then you're going to destroy one another. And in verse 21, it tells us, "Then Jotham fled, escaping to Beer, and he lived there because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech." Just to be clear, when it says Jotham escaped to Beer, that's not saying he turned to the bottle. It was a place to hide, a city, a town. Nevertheless, this word of prophecy did the trick. Jotham turns to God and stands on Mount Gerizim, one of the mounts of cursing and blessing. You see, he couldn't be on both sides at the same time, but neither could the people of Shechem. So he calls them, like Joshua, at the same spot to make a choice. If you've done wrong, make it right. In verse 22, we're told that after Abimelech had governed Israel 3 years, God stirred up animosity between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem, so they acted treacherously against Abimelech. Here's a little bit of that fire shooting both ways. God did this, verse 24 tells us, that the crime against Jerubbaal's 70 sons, the shedding of their blood, might be avenged on their brother Abimelech and on the citizens of Shechem, who had helped him murder his brothers. In opposition to him, these citizens of Shechem set men on their hilltops to ambush and rob everyone who passed by. And this was reported to Abimelech. Well, as a result, Abimelech rises up and attacks all the upstarts trying to take him on. Sadly, he defeats them. The chapter reaches a literal pinnacle when he takes two cities and the residents in each hole up in a tower after he breaks through their walls. At the first place, Abimelech piles wood against the tower and burns 1,000 men, women, and children alive. Not content with that, he goes to the second city, tries the same thing, but as he's piling the wood against the side of the tower, a woman drops the upper part of a millstone from the top of the tower, playing a pretty skillful game of whack-a-mole, which crushes his skull. And as he lays dying, he says to his armor-bearer, "I can't have a woman. Kill me. You kill me." And his armor-bearer runs him through and kills him dead right on the spot. Thus, verse 56 explains, "Thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the people of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, came upon them." This emphasizes the maxim that Jesus gave to his followers, that those who live by the sword die by the sword, or by the upper part of a millstone. In this chapter, our reluctant hero is Jotham. Jotham delivered a message that was unpopular to a group of people he knew did not want to hear it. And in fact, they rejected the message. But sometimes when you say what God wants you to say, it's more like prophecy than anything else. You may not persuade people over to your side, but you've still faithfully discharged the message that God gave you. What about you? Have you been afraid? Jotham was too. Jotham, in fact, after he discharged his message, went into hiding. And that's not so bad either. The courage came when Jotham actually opened his mouth and shared what he felt God was putting on his heart. Do you have something that you know that you're supposed to say? Something that's unpopular? Something that might get you in trouble or maybe cause you to lose a few friends? Well, hopefully, whenever you open your mouth, you're speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love is a trickier business than it seems. In fact, often people don't know you're speaking the truth, but they'll always know when you're speaking in love. Let that encourage you today. And if you've been a little bit afraid of sharing the gospel with somebody, perhaps for the first time, just ask people how you can pray for them. Sometimes just saying, "I've been praying for you, are you okay?" could be the easiest thing to say to someone, even when you're scared. Don't worry about a blowback. There's an old saying that goes, "If you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one who yelps the loudest is the one who got hit." Recently, a friend of mine was at work. He told one of his coworkers that he was praying for him. Immediately, the coworker turned back and started to ridicule him, mocking him, saying prayer is the most useless thing you can possibly do. Well, my friend continued to pray for him, and within the week, that gentleman approached him again and said, "Hey, I've been thinking about prayer a lot. Can you show me how?" Jotham couldn't have known what God was going to do in the hearts of these men, but he faithfully discharged his message, just like my friend at work. And believe it or not, just like you too. Hey, share the gospel with as many people as you can and leave the results up to God. Read Judges chapter 9 today, and as you do, ask God for courage and boldness like the Apostle Paul did at the close of every letter to open your mouth and share faithfully the gospel like you should.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.